Welcome to the Basket Buds edition of the Athletic NBA Show podcast on the Athletic Podcast Network. I'm your host, Zach Harper. We got Jay King. We got Josh Huestis. We've got so much in-season tournament. What was like, I don't know, seven games or something like that. Maybe not so much in-season tournament, but we'll get into that. We're going to give an intervention to a team or a player struggling in the early parts of the season. And we will open up the hot take safe zone after 5 to 7 games of this regular season. But gentlemen, let's start off with, we had talked about the courts, right? We had talked
about the in-season tournament courts.
But we had just seen artist renderings of them, right? We hadn't seen them in application. And then, and excuse my language, these motherfuckers put down that court in Indianapolis. And
good Lord.
I was unprepared, despite all the roasting that happened on the internet. I was unprepared for what this was going to be as a viewing experience. And I tried to be prepared. And then they had the Nets Bulls game with that red court.
That was the worst one.
It was. It's an assault. It's an assault on rods and cones, your iris, any part of the eye. Any part of the eye. And so, Josh, you're an NBA player. Like, you've been on courts before. You had talked about your experience with what was it, the Oregon court?
The Oregon court, yeah.
I was trying to explain it to my mom, and I showed her a picture, and my mom knows nothing about it. She's like, why? She was just like, why would they ever
do that? Why is the right question?
It's a great question. I did not have an answer for her. But, Josh, what do you think? What do you think the players thought of it? Like, some guys were trying to be good company men, like, different. I gotta get used to it. But what did you think of the action? What did you think of the look of it all? What was your in-season tournament experience?
It was terrible, man. Like, listen, like none of them looked good. Some were less ugly than others. That was the only thing I'll say. Like, I didn't mind Cleveland's. Cleveland's was okay. As far as they went, because it was a little bit more subtle.
It was
right, but then they went overboard. Like, you're talking about the Bulls court, like that's out of control. Man.
The Bulls court, the Heat court,
the Nuggets court might have been the worst.
You think so?
Yeah. The thing that set it apart for me was the 5028. It took me way too long to understand.
You didn't even get the mile.
You didn't get it right. Yeah. What are you thinking? Try again. This is a fun game. How many
It wasn't 5082. 5082.
No, also wrong. How many feet in a mile?
5062?
No.
Jesus.
5026?
No. This could be the whole show for all I care.
American public system is failing us.
Yeah, 5028?
I just want to thank my parents
for
doing what they could to provide me a great education. Man.
5,280, Jay.
Yeah.
Okay. So I had no clue what that meant when I looked at it on a basketball court.
Mile High City.
It wasn't until one of my buddies texted me later to tell me that I realized what that meant.
Apparently they got the 3-point line wrong on the Nuggets court and had to repaint it after shoot around. So that's how well this is going.
Yeah, and Grant Williams said that there was still the faint outline of the previous 3-point arc when they were playing the game.
This is what I'm talking about. Like, when I mentioned, like, it's screwing with where the lines are, this is exactly it.
Yeah.
Like, as a player, when you play long enough, you can just kind of, like, if you put a NBA player on the floor without a 3-point line and be like, all right, kind of guess where it is, it'd probably be pretty close.
Right.
Right. But then all of a sudden you blend it in with the court, or now all of a sudden there's two lines, apparently. Like, that's going to screw with the game.
Like, Josh, if you went to, if you went to like a, I don't know, like a 24-hour fitness or LA gym or whatever, you know, and you step on the court and you see whatever they put the line at, does it trick you? Does it hit your mind a little bit of like trying to recorrect what you've seen a 3-point line as for the distance? Or do you just go like, why is this thing 19 feet?
It's honestly, it becomes like a mid-range jumper when you go to a place like that. Like if you go to like a high school or something like that, but it can mess with you a little bit because if you're playing fast, you just see the 3-point line, you assume it's a certain distance, and then you throw it off the backboard. But 3-point shooting wasn't exactly my specialty, so maybe I'm not the right person to ask.
So Damian Lillard was asked on ESPN about the in-season tournament after the game. This is what he said. He said basically like, you know, do you like this? What, how was your experience? He said, quote, it's weird because the energy, you can tell like something is happening, but it's new. So I'm not really sure what the hell is going on. I don't really know what's going on. You know, something's going on. It seems like a moment, the court, the uniforms, TV game and all that, but nobody, I don't think nobody really knows what's going on. We're just trying to get to Vegas. And I thought, we're just trying to get to Vegas, or it seems like a moment is perfect marketing. Absolutely perfect like marketing.
Bones Highland was my favorite.
Because yes.
He's like, I have no clue what's going on, but I do know there was a trophy next to certain games on the schedule. And that's the only thing that tipped me off.
Yeah,
this is a trophy on the schedule.
This is what I mentioned at the beginning. Like, these players, most of them don't care.
Yeah.
The ones that just want to win, like, an actual NBA championship, I think if you talk to teams that, like, actually have a shot at winning the whole thing, probably, like, it doesn't even register, right? They just want to win games. Yeah. But the younger teams...
I can't remember what game it was Friday night, but there was some game where Quentin Richardson was on the NBA app, like kind of like doing like a sidecast for it, like doing, you know, his own commentating on the game. And he was with Darrell Wright was there, and it was the fourth, whatever it was a fourth quarter. It might've been the Warriors game, Warriors Thunder game.
There was a Warriors Thunder game.
Yeah. Okay. So it was Warriors Thunder game, and they had Kevin Durant on in the fourth quarter. And Q, I don't know if Q was like being a company man, or if he legitimately feels this way, but he was like very positive about the in-season tournament. He's like, he said something like, yo, this is great. You know, like, you know, it's a championship, right? Like, you got to view it like it's a championship to win the tournament. And I just, the entire time he was talking and he was like talking this up, I was just watching Kevin Durant's face the entire time. Like, just because he was just like, you could tell he wanted to shit on what was being said, but he just didn't. But I don't see, I think that for the teams, I think a couple of teams will be like aware of it as an organization, but I don't think teams will really get it until they find out, hey, you're going to Vegas in December, right? Like you are going to, like, you made it, you made the top eight. I think that's when teams will be more aware of it, where it's not just like, to have the group play baked into the schedule is smart from a logistical standpoint, but I don't know. Players didn't do anything different.
I have a question. Why didn't they play all these tournament games on the same day or weekend?
Because the schedule's a motherfucker. Like, that's was, the...
Yeah. I guess. Yeah, that has to be it. But it just... Yeah. It would make so much more intuitive sense if there was just a weekend dedicated to in-season tournament games.
I wonder if we'll get to that someday, right? Like... 5 years from now, 6 years from now, where they'll be able to make that like, hey, the month of November is in-season tournament month or something, you know, whatever.
Yeah. Then we had Tyrese Halliburton come out and say he wishes it'd be an automatic playoff berth for the winners. That's the regular season, man. That's the whole entire point of the regular season.
Look, man, that Pacers
play 82 games for that.
They just lost by 50. Okay. They had the one. Oh my God. Did you guys see the end of Hornets Pacers?
Yeah.
I thought the end of Bulls Raptors in the first week was the worst, most incompetent ending to a basketball game I've ever seen. And then Hornets Pacers just blew it out of the water. Like, with 29 seconds left and the Pacers down three, Buddy Hield drives to the basket inexplicably. Like, no one saw that coming. He drives to the basket, gets a layup or a runner or something like that, gets fouled, so he has a chance to tie it at the free throw line. He misses the free throw. They get the offensive rebound. Halliburton turns it over. For some reason, P.J. Washington, the Hornets, like, with a one-point lead and, like, 20 seconds left, just zoom down the court. P.J. Washington tries to score instead of getting fouled. He gets the ball stripped from him. Pacers get the ball back, and then it's ISO Halliburton against LaMelo, and LaMelo gets a stop. Like, Halliburton doesn't even get a shot off.
Shout out to LaMelo.
Like, oh my God. Like, yeah, LaMelo, like, he locked down and he doesn't get a shot off. But this is a game in which the Pacers had a 50-point quarter. Tyrese Halliburton had 25 points and 6 assists in that quarter, 43-12 for the game, and they lost. I have lost all faith in the Pacers just from that game.
You're already turning your back on your preseason five seed?
I'm not turning my back. I'm just throwing all my energy into, I was so right about the Magic. That's what I'm doing.
The Magic do look good.
Also, the most dramatic finish in in-season tournament history with that Warriors Thunder game. That was so much fun.
What an awful call.
It's not an awful call. It's a correct call.
He played for the Thunder, Zach.
You don't think that was goaltending?
It actually, the call is wrong because Josh Giddey interfered first. So that it should have counted no matter what. Josh Giddey touches the net. He like grabs the net, right? And that's interference. And then Draymond touches it after.
But that's not the part they were reviewing. They were reviewing.
Sure, but they still Draymond got it right. The basket should have counted no matter what. It either should have been interference on Giddey or the basket's just good because it went in.
I've always thought that if you just
disagrees.
I've always thought that if you touch the rim as a defensive player, it's just automatic offensive goaltending.
Yeah.
But the refs at least said
the rule they explained, maybe, right.
Yeah, that basically like you have to alter the shot by touching the rim.
Yeah.
As an offensive player doing that. So I don't think it impacted the shot. I actually think it was going in. But that's a really tough thing to judge, too, to evaluate whether that had no impact whatsoever on the shot actually going in.
Well, we just got a little additional information here that makes us all wrong. That if both players touch the rim net or ball, it's a jump ball.
But here's the problem with that is Draymond touches it after. So it shouldn't. Like Draymond touching the rim should not have mattered because
do they have to happen simultaneously or is it just like if they both do it while the ball is up there? Well, how does that? I mean, it's a very slim window.
You know, them's the breaks, you know?
Hey, don't let it get that close, I guess. Don't let it come
apparently as the ball is going in, but they didn't review that. They reviewed Draymond. They were reviewing Draymond as a basket interference, right?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. The bucket counted.
I think he interfered. I think it's more complicated than that, though. Like you said.
Yeah. Because if I foul you on a play, but someone else fouled you half a second before, well, my foul doesn't really matter, right? Like, I guess if I hit you in a certain way, it might become a technical foul or whatever. But like you're not calling two fouls.
But if they didn't call the one before you, and they called the one on you, then they're only going to talk about yours. Like,
sure, yeah, that's fair.
But you just ignore what happened before.
I think the right outcome happened. The basket should have counted.
Yeah,
in my opinion, and it did.
That was such a tough shot, man. Like with Chet rotating over, he had to throw it up and over his outstretched arm. Like Chet was so close to having just a moment against Stephen Curry, and he's just too good.
I would love to hear all stories about I almost had a moment against Steph Curry, and then he was just Steph Curry.
Chet, if you remember in high school, Chet had an extreme moment against
His moment.
He did, yeah. Josh, what's that like just experiencing Steph Curry going against your team?
Do you remember it was the half court shot he hit. Everybody remembers. Yeah, everybody remembers. And like, we feel like we're going to win the game. Steph comes down and I swear to God, I wasn't even dressed for this game. I swear to God, we were running back on defense and our team, they had their backs to him. And I swear to God, I saw him cross half court. And I thought to myself, it's over. We lost. Because I just knew
that's so absurd.
Like when he crossed half, I was like, that's it.
We let him cross half court. Like it's over.
Yeah. And I remember playing him like, because we played him a ton, obviously. Right? I saw him in the playoffs, saw him in the regular season a ton. Like there was it was a rivalry. Like you know what I mean? Like it was a rivalry. Like that was it. After KD left, it became a really big deal. And like when we would play them, like the scouting report was like, when Steph gets to half court, you are face guarding him.
Yeah.
Make him drive. Like as soon as he crosses half.
As soon as he crosses half,
he's a threat.
Yeah.
And so it was literally like that. Like when I was guarding him, like he would bring the ball up. And when he crossed half, I picked him up and just tried to get him to get rid of the ball. And I didn't help off him. I was in his hip constantly. The whole time, like,
it's got to be so. You've probably never been as stressed out.
It's exhausting. It's exhausting, man. Because there's literally no break. And like when we would play them, my assignment was Clay to start the games. And same thing. Like it's literally like you cannot relax. The moment you do, you're dead.
you can't relax, and you can't, like, everything you've been taught about help defense
goes out the window.
Yeah. Yep.
Does not matter.
Because he doesn't need, and honestly, for me, Clay was almost harder to guard because of the fact that he could shoot just as well, and he was 6'7".
Yeah. Yeah, so like he's your size.
Kind of content a little bit. I'm taller. I've got longer. Like, but Clay, it was like, if he gets the ball above his head, it's gone and you're done.
Yeah.
Plus, so Steph, some of the nonsense Steph does, you just kind of got to shrug your shoulders and be like, not much I could do. Yeah, but Clay is more conventional. Clay is more conventional. It's like you feel like you should be able to take some of it away.
For sure. It's not like he's not doing the same thing Steph is.
He's not
like
shaking.
If he gets it off, right. I screwed up. Steph pulls from 40 feet. You're like, well, I don't know, man. I don't know.
Is that the most stressed you've been guarding anybody?
For sure. Because, Steph, especially like on that end, just because his ball skills, like you're like, you're doing everything you can to just not become another highlight.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Because it's always like it's like you got to watch his hips, and that's going to tell you. I don't feel like that works.
That's not good enough.
No, it doesn't matter.
In all honesty, like when you get to that level, man, like that stuff kind of goes out the window because those guys train misdirections.
Right.
Their hip, like normally your hips are going to go the same direction as you when you dribble the ball, but not everybody. Mm-hmm. Like,
right.
You know what I mean? Sometimes those guys, their counters is what gets you. Like you can read the hips, they go right, and you cut them off, and then that's exactly what they wanted, and then you've been left behind.
Not Cam Thomas. Cam Thomas will jump stop with his back to the. I don't think I've ever seen that shot by Cam. I've never seen someone jump stop with their back
to the basket.
To the basket. I've literally never seen
180 spin in midair.
Then jumps in the air, turns. And knocks it down cold over Jaylen Brown, who played good defense.
Good D, better O, man. That's just like, that's one of those ones you're just like, well, shit. Nice shot,
that,
man.
That can't be something. Like, I know everyone in AAU is now going to go try that shot, right? It's been passed all around the internet. Like, everyone's going to go try to do that now. 100%.
But Don't do that.
You're not good enough.
Don't try it.
Everyone listening to this, you're not good enough. I promise.
It's not a good idea. Something I always laugh at is like, you know, something happens in the first game of the season or in preseason, like Giannis will hit the Dirk one-legged fadeaway, right? And then the internet, all the nerds on the internet are like, well, he's got that in his repertoire now. It's over. I'm like, well, he did it once. Let's relax, right? James Harden was going to do that behind the back, one-legged fading three-pointer out of bounds in the corner and everything. I think he took one in the preseason. We haven't seen it since, right? Like, but this Cam Thomas thing, I feel like Cam Thomas will do that time and time again. Like, that's something he's going to do now.
I'm telling you, 15% of the time.
Yeah.
Every NBA player, just about every NBA player, can make any shot you ask them to do.
Right.
They're all good enough to make just about any shot you ask them to do. Does that mean they'll make it a lot? Probably not. Like, Giannis is good enough, like, he may not be a great shooter in the NBA, but he's still he's better than everybody listening to this. Like he's better than 99% so right other than Jay. Other than Jay.
Which is weird because I'm a better shooter than
Jay. Because Jay pulls up from 30 per game.
Oh, we got it. You know what? Let's I know we're supposed to talk about other stuff, but Jay claims.
Nothing better than Jay King pickup basketball stories.
Jake claims that he yelled at a teammate that he should be grateful.
He said, because that's not enough. What else did he almost do?
He almost slapped him, right?
Yeah.
I mean, physical, I wasn't really going to get physical. That was a little bit of an embarrassment.
But you pulled up from 30, called game. Your teammate didn't like that. And then as we just didn't quite accept the story, it all of a sudden be like, well, it was at least 26 feet.
It was at least 26 feet.
I feel like you passed it in for a layup. Like that's
it was a pull up 13 footer.
You made a free throw for game.
Yeah.
Yeah, my stories they do get a little worse and worse. And then my height we were talking about the other day.
Yep.
How I was 6'2", then it came out I'm not really 6'2". I acknowledge that.
Yeah. You used your basketball roster height to defend you being 6'2", which is the worst evidence you can possibly give.
Well, you do play in shoes, so, you know.
Are you 6'2 in shoes? Genuinely.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm legit 6'2" in shoes.
All right.
I can back.
You can vouch.
Yeah, he's 6'2" in shoes.
Unless I'm standing next to Kristaps Porzingis, and then I agree for
5'4". 4'11"? I don't know. I also like that you wanted to use Wemby standing next to Kevin Durant. It's like, no, Kevin Durant still looks like 6'7", 6'8" next to Wemby. Right?
Just like you're
like, this compared, is not well, the same
Kevin
thing
Durant, as, he looks like a little, he looks short too.
Yeah, like no, he still looks tall as fuck. He just doesn't look 7 feet anymore.
I stand by my claim.
All right, let's move on. In season tournament, thumbs up, thumbs down, or thumbs to the side, Josh, for the first experience of the action.
Thumbs to the side, because I don't think anybody really cares.
I think once we get to group play, that's right. Once we get to the tournament, like the elimination, nobody's playing harder right now
than they would be even if there was no tournament. So
there might be more strain on their eyes because of the courts going on.
For sure. But I doubt it's a coincidence that Joe Mazzulla had to coach in sunglasses the next day.
Yeah, I didn't get that.
Yeah, but that could just be there was a deleted scene from the town that he saw. He was like, oh, I want to wear these sunglasses now because Jeremy Renner is wearing sunglasses.
Jim Harbaugh sent him.
Is he still claiming to watch the town like 4 times a day or whatever it was, 4 times a week?
So I think that was probably overstated. I think
of course.
I would hope so.
Make logistical
sense. A wee bit overstated.
Yeah, of course.
Spring is the best time to add new challenges to your training just in time for summer and warmer days. I know I'm looking outside right now. Sun's out, birds are chirping. It's time to start getting outside. I know that I like to get outside and play basketball with my kids. And honestly, I need to get into a fitness routine in order to keep up with these guys. And Peloton is there for me. Peloton's varying class lengths were designed with your training plan in mind. Personalize your workout, whether you'd like to add a 10-minute core session at the end of your strength class, or take a 60-minute power zone ride to increase your endurance. Peloton classes are designed to help focus on your needs and goals. Peloton's classes were made to challenge you. There are a variety of classes like boot camps, boxing, full body strength, or marathon training, all created to grow your skills or push you to improve in what you're already excelling in. Peloton's program and instruction push you to be your best. Their expert coaches and nonstop vibes will push you to new levels of strength and endurance, keeping you on your toes while giving you the professional coaching you need. Peloton has everything you need to get you where you're going. Whether you prefer to run indoors, row or ride at home, or strength train at the gym, Peloton has something for you. Get your head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
It's time for an intervention. Now, we did plan this intervention before a furious, furious second half comeback last night against the mighty, mighty Portland Trailblazers, but we are going to do an intervention for the Memphis Grizzlies because look, this sucks right now, right? Like no Ja for another 20 games or whatever it is, or no, 18 games. I think they're 1-6 now. So another 18 games, Steven Adams out for the year, Brandon Clark. We don't know when he's coming back. So it's just been like Marcus Smart, Desmond Bane, Jaren Jackson Jr., Bismack Biyombo.
They pulled him off the street and put him straight in the starting lineup.
Look, man, if you follow that guy on Instagram, that dude is always working out. He's always in shape to go. Like he's ready to play at all times.
Great
shape.
And
look what happened. They won.
This is a bad situation. This is bad. And I don't think it's a fluke. I do not think it's a fluke that they've played terrible basketball through 7 games.
Okay. Like,
with the roster the way it is now, with the injuries and the suspension, they're not good. They are playing a bunch of players who should not be in an NBA rotation. They are starting Zaire Williams. They are playing
that guy,
David Roddy. They are playing Gilyard, Jacob Gilyard. I actually love Kenneth Lofton. Kenny Lofton.
Oh, Kenny Buckets, Kenny Lofton. That dude
tore up Wembanyama.
That's Chet Holmgren. Like he
is that the answer?
Bucket. That's the answer, man. They need to play him 40 a game.
But seriously, this Grizzlies team is always a team that's kind of one ugly. Like, yeah, last year they were 21st in effective field goal percentage. They won because they got tons of offensive rebounds. They were great defensively, mm-hmm, and they kill in transition. The mm-hmm transition piece is very much gone now. Like, that's a slow team. That's not an athletic
super
team
slow
anymore.
Yeah.
The
yeah
offensive rebounding without Adams and Clark is severely diminished. And so all the flaws that they've had through the years are still there, and they don't have the other things that used to allow them to mm-hmm overcome those.
Well, I feel bad for them because it's not, they're not, they play super hard.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They play super hard. Defensively, they're not terrible. Right?
No.
Like, they're fifth in steals, second in opponent points in the paint. Like, they're yeah not awful defense.
Josh, I have a potentially stupid question for you.
Let me hear it.
Does it make it worse that they're playing so hard and this is the result? Because it actually makes it worse to me. Like,
more depressing. Yeah. Absolutely.
I don't know that I would rather be the Wizards necessarily, but the Wizards are not playing that hard.
Wizards are having more fun.
The Wizards are definitely having more fun.
Wizards sure are having more fun.
I don't know.
The Wizards, but they also have zero expectations, and the Grizzlies still want to be a playoff.
Jordan Poole is having yeah more fun. His teammates are hating life.
That's fair. But, like, they play hard. They're not awful defensively. Like, mm-hmm, watching them play the Blazers, those two, like, teams are just packing the paint against them.
Yeah.
They want them to shoot threes, and they're falling right into it. Like, they're just jacking up threes, and, like, they just happened to make a bunch last night.
Yeah.
And that got them the win, barely. Mm-hmm. But, like, if they're not shooting over 40% from three, if they're shooting normally from three, like, they're losing. And but the thing is, they're not getting their ass kicked in any of these games, really.
Right. Like, yeah. It's all been losing pretty competitive. Yeah.
Yeah. They play hard. They're just, like, 26th in field goal percentage, 21st in 3-point percentage. But they take the fourth most threes a game.
Yeah, they're
in the
jacking
league. They're jacking it up.
Threes.
And like you want, and like when we would play teams, you kind of go like, all right, let's talk about this team. If mm-hmm we can get them to shoot 50 threes tonight,
yeah,
we're gonna win. And I think that's what teams do against them, is like, if we can get them to shoot 50, 60 threes tonight, we're gonna win. And then they do it.
So what is there a solution? Like, Jay, how do you think the whole like Marcus Smart experience is going with him having to run the team? Is obviously a lot different than running point for, you know, Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. But like, what is is it simply like, we just have to try to survive 18 more games and then Ja will be back and he's hopefully still dynamic enough that it's going to inject, you know, adrenaline into our team, and we'll be back to more normal stuff on the basketball court. That's assuming that they haven't dug themselves, you know, too big of a hole at that point because the West is so crazy.
Yeah, I mean, he'll fix a lot of the issues, or at least he'll paper over a lot of the issues just yeah by being so dynamic. Like, you watch, it's just a lifeless offense. Like, there's just not a lot they can get to break you down, to force you to put two on the ball, to get you into rotations.
Yeah.
It's just a very low-powered offense. And I think the Smart thing has gone okay. He's had some pretty bad turnovers, but if you look at the efficiency, he's been fine. You look at Desmond Bane's been great. Jaren Jackson, yeah, stats-wise has been great. To me, the bigger issue is that this roster has lost a ton of talent. Like, beyond the injuries, the suspension for Ja, they lost De'Anthony Melton. Just let him go. They lost Kyle Anderson. Just let him go. They lost Dylan Brooks, and I know everyone hates Dylan Brooks, but he's better.
If the alternative is Zaire Williams, then it's...
Yeah, and so that's what people failed to realize last year when everyone was crapping on Dylan Brooks. He is their better alternative. Yeah. And so it's just, I don't think this is a good roster the way it's currently constructed. And then some of their issues are just exacerbated, like Jaren Jackson, right? He's never really learned how to play the five as well. Like, that's just not his best position. He's been better at four because he's not a great rebounder. He's not super physical. He fouls all the time. And so putting him next to Steven Adams was a really good mix. Now they don't have that, and they're trying Bismack Biyombo. I'm not super confident that that's the answer, although that's probably like the type of formula you need. I just don't think it's the right player. So they just have a lot of problems, and when you watch them, and it's just ugly. And the West is deep. The West is dangerous, and if they dig themselves too deep a hole, they might not be able to pull themselves out of it.
Should they tank? Is it too early to talk about tank?
Like, can they draft Wembanyama a year ago?
I don't think it's a draft problem.
If they need an injection of like real talent, you know, and by the time Ja's back, like they might be 5-20, right? Like they might be what the Magic were after 25 games last year. Like they might just be that bad. And then at that point, if you go that down in the standings in the West this year, you have no chance of even making the play-in tournament. You have no chance. Like there's no way they'd be able to recover that. Now maybe 5-20 is extreme, but shit, they're 1-6. Like I don't know if it's that crazy to think about. So does this become a season of like long-term vision rather than no, we're competitors, we try to win every game and all that.
Okay, let's say they do choose to focus on long-term vision. Mm-hmm. What does that look like? Is it just like unleashing Kenny Lofton? Is it giving Zaire Williams more than the starter minutes he's already playing?
He's tapped. I'm done with it. I'm done watching Zaire Williams, but like, give me all the Kenny Lofton that we can get.
I think they just need to build it around Kenny Lofton moving forward. Just feed him.
Hey, man. Worked for under 17 Team USA, didn't it?
He's
seen to work just fine.
Wembanyama had no chance.
There's no fix. There's no fix in season other than maybe Ja can be that good and lift him.
I think this is a free agency fix.
I mean, as you guys mentioned, the roster's a mess.
Yeah, I don't think you can fix this in the draft.
Yeah. Should they start unloading somebody? I don't know.
Who has the trade value to get a player they need that they're willing to get rid of?
I mean, maybe you move Marcus Smart for two guys. I don't know. I don't know if that's even doable. Could you move him to a contender for two guys to just try to build out?
I do love the Robert Williams idea for the Grizzlies.
Yeah.
He could be gettable. He's in Portland and he would just bring energy. He would bring athleticism. He would bring,
he would bring not being Xavier Tillman for 30 minutes a game. I like Tillman when it's like you're playing 12 minutes tonight.
Yeah,
I'm here for that. But when he has to be the starting center and play starters minutes, like it's just not a good idea.
Yeah. So I would love Robert Williams there. I think that would be a great fit. He would give them a lot. Like this team just needs more energy, and they need to have like they really cannot break down the defense right now. Like watching them, and the reason why they're shooting so many threes is because they can't get anything else. This is not a roster loaded with guys who want to shoot three pointers all the time. Yeah. But well, they just haven't been able to get much else.
Defenses, they short close out and they pack the paint. Where are you going to go?
Yeah, there's nothing you can do. Nothing. Like they don't have anybody to break that down.
No,
nothing.
They don't force you in, like you said, they don't force you into making decisions early in the shot clock, right? Like I mean, no one's getting into the middle of the floor. And now someone's going to collapse. Back. Right.
When Ja gets back, right? That's a guy who pushes in transition, gets downhill, forces teams to rotate. But do they have the shooters then to then punish them for sinking in on Ja attacking the paint?
Do we think Ja's going to come back with a jump shot? Like a legit outside jump shot.
Did you just ask if we think Ja's going to come back shooting?
Nope. I asked a jump shot.
Shooting or making?
Making. Three-point shot. Because here's what I'm thinking about is, remember when Julius Randle had like 6 years in between playing games for the Knicks and he came back, you know, because of the pandemic and everything, came back and all of a sudden he was like a 40% three-point shooter because he had 9 months to work on his jump shot. I'm just wondering if Ja Morant has something similar in him.
I don't know.
Probably not.
Dave, I really want to read that joke from the chat, but I'm not going to. We're going to all right, let's open up the Hot Take Safe Zone. If you are unfamiliar with the Hot Take Safe Zone, this is a safe area, a safe place where we get to put out a hot take We are not going to disagree with one another. We are not going to say that's ridiculous. We are going to accept the hot take. We are going to embrace it. We are going to swaddle it and coddle it. We're going to treat it like it's our own, and we're going to love that hot take. And there's nothing that we can say in terms of basketball stuff, not even Jay King, to where we are allowed to then say, no, you don't get to say that. You don't get to
believe that. I hate that you're taking my argumentative nature away from me.
100%. It's frustrating because I can't argue with you about the stuff you say, but it is more satisfying that you cannot argue with what we say.
Fair.
That's how I feel. All right. Jay. Who wants to go first?
I'm ready.
Jay?
I'm ready.
Jay's ready?
All right. I'm all the way in on the Hawks.
Wow.
All the way in on the Hawks. Not as like a contending team, but that is a good basketball team. That is a team that will win a playoff berth in the East. Not a play-in team. They will be
top six
playoff team in the East. If you look at their numbers, they are third offensively right now with Trae Young shooting 34% from the field. 34% from the field. He's doing nothing. He's been actively bad. And they are
third. DeJounte's been killing it.
Their offense,
Hunter's killing it. Jalen Johnson's been so good.
Jalen Johnson is so fun. Like, he does just a bunch of things. Like, you'll watch a five-minute Jalen Johnson stretch, and he'll grab a rebound, go coast to coast, like, just zoom by everyone for a layup. He'll lead the break, draw help, kick out, find a shooter. He'll have a crazy offensive rebound all in 5 minutes. Like, he just packs so much into every moment on the court. They have eight guys averaging in double figures right now, and they've all played in every game.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like they're getting juiced up numbers because of absences. Their offense right now is the same, basically, without Trae Young as it is with Trae Young. Their that they bring off the bench are Sadiq Bey, Bogdanović, and Onyeka Okongwu, who are all legitimate basketball players. Like, this is a team that has a rotation loaded with good basketball players. I'm in on the Hawks. I see the vision with this team. I think they're good. And Jalen Johnson's emergence has helped a lot because he gave them needed athleticism. He gives them needed secondary playmaking. And I'm in on the Hawks.
Let me say this. This is not just because it's the safe zone. I'm so with you. I always resist like any good Hawks stuff because it's the Hawks. They'll find a way to fuck it up. But I am loving this. Like, I feel so vindicated because Jalen Johnson was one of my five favorite draft prospects in 2021. I won't tell you the guys I thought he would be better than them because that would be bad for me. But I will say that, like, I wondered why Jalen Johnson wasn't playing more. I guess just because John Collins was there. But I love this Hawks team and what they're doing.
I just have a question, and it's not a criticism at all. I just have a question. Do you believe that when
Josh trying to get around this?
No. I'm trying to find the fine print here. Do you think that if Trey starts shooting the ball better, you don't think that that could actually have a negative effect on the team aspect as a whole?
I see where you're coming from with that. The hot take safe zone response, the official hot take safe zone response, is that this Hawks team started building towards something last year. And you could see it a little bit at the end of last season with Quinn Snyder coming in. You could see it in the playoffs against the Celtics when they were super competitive. And I actually think, like, the team is bought in. If you look at Trae Young's quotes, even while he's playing poorly and they're winning games, like, he seems like someone who's bought into this.
Mm-hmm.
And I could be wrong. Trae Young has gone his own way sometimes in the past. But I think, like, just the structure in Atlanta, the talent in Atlanta, it's all a lot better than it has been.
All right. Yeah, I wasn't calling that take into question.
I think that was a fair question. I think it's a fair question. I may have thought that Jalen Johnson was going to be better than Şengün. I may have thought that. I may have said that to somebody at some point. I don't know. But
then Şengün, you said?
Yeah. And someone that was picking the top seven as well. Well, I'll say I was wrong.
There's a lot of time left. There's a lot of time left.
I don't know. Yeah, man, there is a lot of time left. That's fair. All right, Josh, what is your hot take in the hot take safe zone?
Hot take, and honestly, I don't even know if it's that hot. I think the Lakers finished bottom three in the West.
Whoa.
They're not looking bottom good, dude. Three. They're not looking good. This is the healthiest they will be all year.
Wow.
Healthiest they'll be all year. LeBron is playing way more minutes than they ever anticipated him playing.
LeBron has to do everything.
Everything. That's what I'm talking about. And again, yeah, this is the healthiest he will be all year. Right now. And he's playing well. So they're ahead of San Antonio right now. I think San Antonio is going to keep getting better. They're ahead of Phoenix. Phoenix has had injury problems. Uh-huh. Right. Once those guys get healthy, they'll be back. They're ahead of OKC. OKC, I think, is going to improve as the year goes on. Then who do they pass? Who do they leapfrog then that's ahead of them?
LeBron compared his own team to the Pittsburgh Steelers, which is when you know things are really bad.
So that's when he's saying, like
I'm Kenny Pickett.
Who are they better than?
That's what you know.
LeBron should never say he's Kenny Pickett. That's not. Come on, man. I don't care.
And then he didn't actually say he's Kenny Pickett. That was me.
If the Kings get it together, they're gonna move up. Like
they will.
Who are they better than? That's ahead of them right now. Who are they gonna?
That's
surpass?
That's ahead of them. I mean, I don't know if I'm buying the Dallas stuff, but yeah, I mean Dallas looks so much better.
Right.
Like Dallas at least has the identity of like their offense is great.
Where do they fit in?
Yeah, like I think the Thunder are better. I think the Suns will be fine once they get healthy.
That's what I'm saying. And those are all teams that are behind them currently, so they're probably going to pass them. Like where do they go from here? If they don't completely – if Anthony Davis doesn't step up, if all those guys don't start stepping up, where do they go?
Yeah, it's funny because they brought back like everybody.
That's what I'm saying.
Last year. But and it's more. A totally different formula now. Like they're playing Cam Reddish a lot of minutes. They're playing Christian Wood a lot of minutes. And those guys, honestly, like those guys have been okay for what they are. Like they're it seems like they're trying on defense, which is cool. But it's not really the same team that it was last year. And it's crazy to me. Like LeBron is 39 years old. What is his year? 21?
Year 21. Yeah. He'll be 39 in December. Yeah.
And they still absolutely crater whenever he's off the court. They still have found nothing to exist with Anthony Davis on the court and LeBron James isn't. Nothing that they've been able to go to fix that. Mm-hmm. Even now, when he's 39 years old, even when they have Austin Reeves and D'Angelo Russell, who are sort of playmakers on their own, they need to figure that. Like you can't be collapsing every time LeBron James steps off the court when he's at this stage of his career.
Is it sustainable to play him 35 plus minutes a game?
No.
Exactly. No, that's what I'm saying. No. And so what's the solution, right? If you do lower him to 28, that's 7 more minutes that he's not on the court, in which, I mean, 7 minutes can make or break a game.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I think that first game of the season, and granted it was Denver, but I want to say in the 19 minutes he didn't play, they were like minus 19 or minus.
So I'm saying, so
like yeah,
unless barring some huge step up by somebody else, like I just don't see where they go from here.
Wow, bottom three.
I get, bottom but three. Wow. Tell me tell me who they leapfrog. Tell me who.
Yeah,
they,
I mean, they and get ahead of. And you have to assume that. Sacramento, like once Fox is healthy, like Sacramento will be
Sacramento
there.
Sacramento comes back. Phoenix stays healthy.
Like they're better than Portland. They're better than Houston. They're better than Utah. And they're better than Memphis.
Don't sleep on the Rockets, man.
Right, but
okay.
It's
you already had your hot take safe zone. You don't get to. You've been shitting on your Rockets analysis in the chat every day.
Another big win
until they beat a Foxless Kings team. And now you're back in.
Another big win.
Right.
Another big win. Yep. To go with their other win. Got a second win. You know what's annoying is I like this Rockets roster. I like what they're doing, but you make me want to root against them.
That's not a me problem. That's just a problem.
It's a you
that
problem.
That seems super personal, actually.
100%. Yeah, 100%. It's 100% personal. It has nothing to do with basketball, the Rockets, or anything. It's
you, Jay.
You just want to see me fail.
All right. My hot take, the hot take safe zone. Victor Wembanyama is going to run away with All-Star MVP. He is going to win Defensive Player of the Year. And
oh, we got multiple.
He will get at least two votes in the MVP ballot.
Dang.
This team's good when he's on the court. It's a good, he's so good. I'm never going to shut up about him. I like the next 20 years. All I want to do is talk about Wembanyama. He's the most fascinating player I've ever seen. Like in a good way. Like there's some players where I'm just like, how the fuck is that guy in the league? That not this. This is, how is this real basketball? How is this a real person?
The piece to me that I didn't realize he would have is he's just really good at like positioning himself off ball to do damage. Mm-hmm. I didn't know he was going to have that. Like I knew he was going to be super tall and super fluid. But the other day they ran a cross screen for Zach Collins, and Zach Collins drove baseline, and Wembanyama like just kind of circled around and put himself in perfect position to catch and dunk. And it was just like,
yeah,
the little plays like that he makes, or sometimes like he'll post up and then they'll swing to the other side and he'll stay posted to just take that space and create an easy bucket at the rim. So it's all that stuff that's more advanced than I expected it to be, on top of all the highlight stuff that he's already doing. It's like the knowledge of how to make himself a scorer is just really impressive.
I'll agree. I'm gonna agree. Like those things usually take years to figure out the proper, not only like defensive rotations, but like I think a lot of people don't realize there's offensive rotations too. Like you mentioned, Collins driving base. Like it's a known thing you get taught, they drive baseline, you have to kind of circle up to top of the charge circle area, right? And that's where your pocket is, and like that sometimes takes years to really figure out, especially like it takes years for players who are coming out of college to learn that, let alone coming from not only being a teenager but also coming from a foreign country.
What do you think that, do you think that takes a while because the game is fast, because the game is so smart compared to like every other level, because the rules in college are different, so you're doing different things? Like, what do you think that
adjustment is? I think it's all of it. I think, defensive 3 seconds forces, different rotations offensively, right? I think the skill of the players, I think the size of the key, I think all of those things make a difference in how you're supposed to rotate. Right. And then just the, like I said, the flat out skill of players, right? Like you can get away with certain things in college that, in terms of spacing, just because maybe you're more the most athletic player on the floor, or the quickest, or you just out talent everybody. Right. But like that just doesn't fly in the NBA. So positioning is super important because, you're probably not the most athletic on the floor. Like obviously he's an anomaly being 7'5".
Yeah.
But like even still, like if he's not in the right positions, he's going to get stopped.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But he already knows what those right positions are, which surprised me. I didn't think he would have that so quick.
I truly believe if you like basketball even a little bit and you're not watching every Spurs game, you're fucking up. It's like I've never been more in on a player than this.
I love how much you love him because you're kind of a hater sometimes.
100%.
And especially because of how over the top everybody is about Wembanyama, I wouldn't have been surprised if you'd become a hater, but he's so good you can't be.
I reserve that for Chet Holmgren. And again, that's a you thing. It has nothing to do with him. It's because you're so annoying about
him. He's really good too.
He's pretty good. You know what I really hate right now? The people on the internet who are like, don't let what Wemby's doing overshadow Chet. Chet's doing some special stuff too. Chet's good. And Chet is doing some special stuff.
But being overshadowed.
There's a hierarchy here. Yeah.
Somebody's always going to overshadow somebody.
Exactly.
Somebody's better than somebody else.
Right, exactly. And so we don't have to, what I'm saying is we don't have to dumb down what Wemby's doing to prop up what Chet's doing. Wemby's out of this world, and hey, Chet's looking good too. We can just do that. We don't have to compare the two. Although shout out to Shaq for bringing back the bowl thing, just to troll. All right, that's going to do it for the Hot Take Safe Zone. That's going to do it for this edition of Basket Buds. Make sure you subscribe to The Athletic. Make sure you subscribe to our YouTube page. You can watch us talk. Watch us talk. There's nothing creepier than that. And make sure you're checking out The Bounce, the free daily email newsletter from myself and Shams Charania, theathletic.com/bounce. For Josh, for Jay, for me, for Dave, for Schlecht, for Esh, make sure you keep it locked on The Athletic.